Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. We're going to be talking about a couple of different subjects on the program today. First up, we're going to visit with J.C. Derrick from World Magazine. He's in Washington, D.C., and he's been covering the IRS scandal. And we just had some news just a couple moments ago on the Fox News broadcast about what's taking place with Lois Lerner and the IRS scandal and so forth. I say scandal. You know, the president said no big deal. He said there wasn't even a smidgen of corruption involved in it. We'll talk to J.C. and see how that squares with some of the facts that are coming out around this issue. Second up on the program today, did you get an opportunity to go to the premiere last night of First Do No Harm? You know, I had the producer, Mark Cochran, was with me in the studio last week, and we were telling everybody about the premiere of that taking place last night over at the Camelot Theaters. Well, I had an opportunity to attend last night along with hundreds of other people here from the upstate of South Carolina. If you were at the event last night and would like to give a little bit of testimony as to what you thought about the film itself, 17-minute film, First Do No Harm, and there were a number of associated things as well. We had a little mini concert that was put on last night as well. John Waller, was there singing a few of his songs. We're going to play one of those on the broadcast today. We also had a little panel that was there of some experts from the local area that were talking about things related to childbirth, adoption, abortion, and so forth. Even a couple of legislators were there as well from Columbia. So a lot was going on there last night, a full premiere, you know, with a lot of the actors and stars that were there. Mike Gallagher was there, a fellow by the name of Kenny Santiago. I'm going to mutilate his last name, but Marrero, I think is how you say it. He was one of the actors that was there, and a number of others. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from on the second half of the program. I got some folks here in the studio with me that were part of the program last night. Kelly, Lee, and Tim Robertson are with me here in the studio, and so we'll be talking with them, and I'll tell you what their part of the story is when we come back from the break on the second half of the program today. Let's start there with World Magazine, and I wanted to mention before we go right away to J.C., I wanted to mention also that there was some breaking news that came out of World Magazine last night. And that breaking news was that the Homeland Security had changed their decision and now allowed the German homeschoolers to stay. So this has been a little bit bizarre, you know, that the Obama administration, first of all, was so heavy-handed with this homeschooling group that wanted to come here and stay in this country because homeschooling is illegal in Germany, and so they were being persecuted for wanting to homeschool their children. They wanted asylum here, basically, in the United States. The Obama administration said no, they can't stay, fought them in court, won in court, so that they now would have to be deported, and then yesterday said, oh, no, they can stay. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe J.C. can shed a little bit of light on it. But then we also want to talk to him about what's going on in the IRS scandal as well. J.C., welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hey, Kevin, it's great to be here. You're right. There's a lot going on today.
Yeah, I don't know if you're up to speed on that. I know you've got your own stories that you work on there, and there's other folks that have been, I think Lee Jones took the lead on this one with the homeschoolers, but I didn't know if you were just able to shed any light on that at all, why the Homeland Security group decided to change their mind on the whole thing.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't actually been covering it myself. Lee's covered a little bit of that, and also Emily Jones, our courts reporter, has been following that as well. And I think actually we had one of our other reporters, Jamie Dean, actually went and visited the Romaki family, and she did a major story for us last year, kind of talking about the look inside their home and what they're doing, and just a normal family who is wanting to homeschool, but. I don't know that there's really any explanation. Michael Ferris, with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, he said that, he just gives all credit to God because there's no really reasonable explanation for the government's turnaround. It almost seems like they just wanted to prove a point that the administration doesn't have to give anybody asylum over homeschooling, but you can stay.
Mm-hmm.
It seems very odd the way things unfold, and it was definitely a big surprise.
Well, I think that's a really good assessment there, just to show that they could, stop, and they didn't want a flood of other people coming, apparently, and so they wanted to show that they could go ahead and say, hey, we could stop you if we want, and then at the very end, I think that there was quite an uproar over this as well, and a number of people were like, sure, we take in all these other people that come for much more nefarious reasons, and here's just a family that just wants to educate their own children at home, and then we're going to go ahead and kick them back out. I think that story didn't play well with the American people, and there was probably quite a bit of uproar over the fact that they had finally decided to actually send them back. And so hopefully they responded to that.
I think there was definitely a large uproar of people speaking out on this and putting out statements and just a large growing grassroots effort to keep them here.
Right.
And, HSLDA did say that they were trying to create a new precedent, to have asylum, that homeschooling could be a reason for seeking asylum in the U.S.
Mm.
So it's hard to say. It might have been multiple reasons on the part of the administration, but I guess it's largely seems good news for Christians.
Yeah, we just can't have people coming here wanting to educate their children. That's just out of bounds. We can't have something like that going on, here in the United States. So, anyways, of course, I tongue-in-cheek, I jest. But anyways, let me ask you about something even more serious and maybe a little bit more bizarre, is the entire IRS issue. I think that we're going to need you to bring the listening audience up to speed from the beginning of what happened with this, because a lot of folks in the listening audience, I know, are homeschoolers themselves, and they have jobs. And so they're busy with their own life and, unfortunately, can't keep up with everything that's coming out of Washington. So I don't know if a lot of folks in the listening audience are able to fully go all the way back to what started this whole thing with the IRS. So if you wouldn't mind just giving us a little bit of a synopsis from that point, how this came to light and what was the issue in the beginning, and then what's taking place even up till just a few moments ago in Washington, because there's hearings going on before Congress right now, and what's the latest information that we have on this issue?
Sure, yeah, and I don't think your listeners are alone and that trying to keep straight all the pieces and the he said, she said, and all the things that have been going around for the last, especially the last 9 months, but even the last two, three, 4 years over this issue. The allegations were originally made back in, I think, the early 2010. Groups started saying, that they were facing unreasonable scrutinizing from the IRS and things like that. And just to give you the heads up, we are going to press today on with a new issue of World Magazine, and in our coming issue, I've written a feature story on this, kind of catching people up to speed, and it does include also a timeline of the major events that have happened over the last 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So your listeners will probably find that helpful. So basically, back in early 2010, the IRS made, you know, again, these are generally understood facts, that that's when the IRS started targeting conservative groups, and that, you know, it corresponds closely to the beginning of the Tea Party, which was 2009. And, you know, with the media attention that started being paid to them, IRS officials started, and some of this is discussed in emails that have come out, that, you know, they wanted to scrutinize these groups closer to make sure that they were not violating the tax status. Because with a 501c4 nonprofit organization, you can, you know, engage in, it's a social welfare, basically, organization is what they call it, and they can't be involved primarily in political activities. So, how you define political activities is a point that is still being debated. But there are many of these groups, obviously, that have sprung up over the last 4 years, Tea Party groups and other types of groups that have conservative goals. And there was a lot of, you know, people complaining that they were being targeted, but nothing was really nailed down until May 10th of last year. Lois Lerner, who was the head of the tax-exempt organizations for the IRS, she actually told, she was at an American Bar Association event in Washington, D.C., and she had a friend of hers, she planted a question in the audience that a friend of hers asked her, and then she came out and apologized for this targeting conservative groups, which was the first acknowledgement of on the part of the IRS that this has actually been going on, including Douglas Shulman, the former commissioner of the IRS, back in testimony to Congress a couple of years ago, had told Congress outright, this is absolutely not going on, when they were questioned about it. So days, the reason Lois Lerner made the admission was days later, there was an Inspector General report coming out talking about how this targeting, in fact, had been going on. And in the aftermath of that, as soon as that happened, there was all kinds of public outrage. President Obama said, this is absolutely unacceptable. Eric Holder, you know, the Attorney General said he would work, you know, the Justice Department would be working closely with the FBI to get to the bottom of this and all these types of things. But as things unfolded and people waited for, you know, the firings and the prosecutions, you know, because it's criminal behavior, nothing has really happened. And so there's been an effort over the last few weeks on the part of Republicans to really try to drill down and figure out what's going on. Especially after the president's comments at the beginning of February, saying that there's not even a smidgen of corruption in this IRS situation, which is surprising considering that now multiple people on the part of the IRS have actually, you know, admitted wrongdoing and apologized for it. So it's an interesting situation and it's definitely still ongoing. In terms of Lois Lerner, after the last May, after she acknowledged what was going on, she was called in to testify before the House Oversight Committee, and she, after giving an opening statement declaring her innocence, she took her Fifth Amendment right not to testify on grounds of self-incrimination. And so she did that, and that hearing was not adjourned. It was actually only put in recess by the chairman, Darrell Issa. And over the last 9 months, they've been gathering information, interviewing witnesses, and so on. And today, it was resumed, that hearing. And just moments ago, you know, this morning, they resumed the hearing with basically giving Lois Lerner another chance to testify. And Darrell Issa asked her some very pointed questions with specific information that they have now, everything from quotes from her to, you know, emails and all these things that they've uncovered. And she again took the Fifth on each question. So so it'll be interesting to see where the investigation goes from here. But it was quite a contentious scene this morning in the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, but let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with J.C. Derrick from World Magazine, and specifically talking with J.C. about what's taking place regarding the IRS scandal and the hearings surrounding it. And at the center of all of that, on one side, at the center is Lois Lerner, and I was going to say Lois Lane, but that's a different story altogether, with Lois Lerner. And on the other side, of the table there at the center of it is Daryl Issa, and he has been the head of the committee that's been trying to get to the bottom of this. And as we just pointed out, you know, there's issues dealing with persecuting of conservatives in the form of not getting around to processing their paperwork so that they can have a 501c3 status before the IRS. And then also there was this planting of the question. This got really strange that she then put somebody in the audience in order to bring the question up. So she plants a person to ask the question. So when somebody's doing this type of behind-the-scenes deceptive way of going about things, it right away raises a lot of questions. And then finally, now pleads the fifth. And so we've got her here refusing to testify. If she hasn't done anything wrong, if there's not a smidgen of corruption here involved in it, as the president said, then why not testify? Apparently, there's been some documents now that have come to light showing that she is has tried to make some sort of a plea deal type of thing that she would testify under two circumstances. One, if a federal judge forced her to testify, and two, if she had immunity for her testimony, then she would be willing to do it. And so that seems to have come to light now. Apparently she didn't get either one of those things just today because she again came into the meeting. You would think being, you know, brought back before the committee a second time, that this time she would have thought about what she did before and went ahead and, you know, would say something. But nope, doesn't say anything. She again took the fifth. Now, you mentioned a little bit, Derek, that there were a little bit of fireworks there this morning. Daryl Issa actually walked out of the hearings, right?
Well, again, you have to remember this wasn't actually a new hearing. This was just resuming a hearing last year. Mm-hmm. All the other witnesses that already testified, they weren't required to come back. It was just Lois Lerner. So there were no opening statements. There weren't, you know, this was just resuming an existing hearing. So, so quickly that it came to the point that, you know, he basically, Issa opened it today and, you know, gave some quick background information and quickly went to questioning Lois Lerner. And he had several specific questions that he asked her, very pointed information, you know, for example, in 2010, she talked about the Citizens United ruling of the Supreme Court, and he had a quote from her talking about how many people are upset that this now allows corporations to be considered as people and they can, you know, put an unlimited amount of money into campaigns and quote, they want the IRS to fix this. And so he asked, you know, his first question, you know, who, you know, what does that mean? They want the IRS to fix this. And, you know, of course, that was her first time, you know, today that she pleaded the fifth. And then he asked several more questions. But at that point, he said, you know, well, it's obvious that she, oh, and he also asked, did she want a one-week extension, which at one point in the negotiations of the last week, she said she would testify next week, which is not this week. And so he asked, you know, is that still what you'd like? And she again pleaded the fifth. So he said, you know, at this point, it's clear she's not going to cooperate. The witness is not going to cooperate. I adjourn this hearing. He banged the gavel, and that was it. At that point, Elijah Cummings, the ranking member of the committee, he said, Mr. Chairman, I have a procedural question. And he looked at him and he said, I just said the hearing's adjourned, you know, they had this little exchange and, you know, I have a procedural question. You have to recognize, you know, and he's technically already adjourned the hearing, but he sat back down and he's like, okay, what's your question? And he said, before I have my question, I would like to, you know, and he goes into this 10-minute, you know, diatribe against Republicans. It's a one-sided investigation and blah, blah, blah. And quickly, Joe Issa just had him, you know, had his mic cut off and said, this hearing's adjourned, Ms. Lerner, you're released. Mm-hmm. And he walked out. So all the Republicans left the hearing room. Meanwhile, Elijah Cummings continues to really shout because his mic wasn't on.
Yeah.
And about all these things. And so it was an interesting scene, one I personally haven't seen before at a hearing, and it revealed some of the underlying tensions. But even with Elijah Cummings you know, disagreeing with how the investigation's run, he did say that he was, you know, he did talk about some of the mismanagement and the misconduct of Lerner that they had uncovered. And so he said he, too, was very disappointed that she would not testify.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, he should be. You know, I mean, this should not be a partisan issue. I think the bigger issue is the idea that, you know, when you're talking about IRS to fix this, you know, it sounds very much, you know, it almost sounds like a mafia type of thing, but it certainly sounds like a political enemies list, which we had, you know, was made such a big deal out of during the Nixon administration, and rightfully so. You know, if you're going to have some sort of an enemies list, and then you're going to use other departments of government to go after those people, that's a disturbing trend and something that certainly we need to get to the bottom of it. The part that just floors me in all this is when you've got a public servant. Lois Lerner is a public servant, and she's doing the people's business. They're supposed to be, right? And then we question the people responsible to hold her accountable to do her job are asking her questions, and then you refuse to answer the questions. I find that, you know, extremely problematic. You know, she works for the American people, and we have tasked this group of Congress to be the oversight of what she does. And so I want her to answer the question. You know, I want her to, I want to get to the bottom of this. I don't want Republicans. I don't want Democrats. I don't want independents using different portions of the government as a weapon against the American people. And so people should just be outraged. And I think that this is a seminal moment in our country where, you know, people need to say, hey, we're not going to allow this to take place. We're not some sort of, you know, banana republic or something where this just goes on all the time. We need to stand up and say enough is enough, and somebody's going to be held accountable for this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you brought up a good point with the multiple agencies being involved. While this is called the IRS scandal, I think it's worth not only noting but really paying attention to the fact that it's not just the IRS. We know that the IRS itself are sharing information with other agencies. And last month I was at a hearing on this issue, and there's a woman named Catherine Engelbrecht from Texas, and she said that in 20 years of being a small business owner in Richmond, Texas, she and her husband had never had, you know, never been audited, never been investigated, anything like that. And in 2010, she actually started her political activity kind of in 2009 with some volunteering. But in 2010, she founded True the Vote, the organization that fights for election integrity, and then also King Street Patriots. These are 501c3 and 501c4 nonprofit groups, respectively. And she said from that time that she made those applications in 2010, she has had 15 visits from not only the IRS, two personal audits and two audits for her company.
Yeah.
But she said a total of 15 visits from the IRS, the FBI, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, and the Texas branch of the EPA, even the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, their terrorism division, comes along asking her questions. And you know, she said, you know, it certainly makes you stop and think when there's this interagency collusion,
yes,
and there's no exceptional circumstance in her life except for the fact that she applied for nonprofit status for these two organizations.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but speaking as a personal citizen, you know, an IRS audit is one thing, but when the FBI and ATF start knocking on my door, any normal person is going to be intimidated.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, just thinking about an IRS audit, you know, boy, you want to talk about being intimidated. You got every receipt, you know, that you've of everything you've ever purchased. I mean, they can always find something if they really want to. And they can just turn your life upside down for a number of years. And then the burden of proof is upon you to prove yourself innocent from these things. And they can just paralyze you and destroy you by the abuse of the government in this way. To have that many agencies involved is really scary, because now we're seeing some sort of collusion or at least a connection between a number of people being involved, not just one man at the top saying, you know, that I don't like these people and I want to go after them, but a number of people that then have to be complicit with that in order to go in and put pressure upon her from all of these different agencies. This is getting a little bit scary, you know, the way that the government is being used. And I think, as I mentioned before, I think we need to stand up and do something about it and really find out who's responsible for this. Who's sending in all these thugs, you know, to go ahead and intimidate these people? We need to get to the bottom of that, and get some answers from somebody as to what's going on, because that's completely unacceptable. We see similar things, you know, with the EPA and other groups like that as well. But this is starting to get, on this particular issue, is really getting strange. Hey, by the way, I think that that group that was targeted, like you said, True to Vote and so forth, they actually said, too, that they never had anybody from the FBI come and interview them. So here the FBI closed the case. Hey, you know, it's all closed. We looked into it. There was really nothing going on. And then they're like, well, nobody talked to us, you know, about what happened.
Right. So, and I should differentiate, because I talked about those visits from her. Those were just visits in regards to her personal activity.
Right.
You know, in the last year, in terms of when she actually would want to speak to the IRS about when she actually would want to speak to the Department of Justice or the FBI about, you know, this targeting that's been going on.
Right.
They haven't been contacting her. And furthermore, Jay Sekulow, who's the head of the American Center for Law and Justice, and he represents 41 plaintiffs in a case against the government over the targeting,
mm-hmm.
and none of them have been interviewed either. So it's hard to say, you know, oh, there's not even a smidgen of corruption, when it's obvious that investigation is certainly in its infancy, if it's being done at all.
Yeah, we're beginning to learn very quickly that when Barack Obama says, hey, the debate is over, you know, hey, the conclusion is already there, don't worry about this, let's move on to something else, that's not quite the case. You know, and when he just recently says not a smidgen of corruption, and then we find out the investigation wasn't even done, boy, that's quite a pronouncement. So, JC, thank you so much for your time here, for staying on these stories like this. I just hope that we can get to the bottom of it and really have some actual answers that come out of it and some real accountability. I think that's what the American people want. They're tired of the games and the charades. They want people to be accountable. If you did something wrong, let's find out about it and let's deal with it from there. I think that's all they're asking for, and that's not too much to ask for from our government. I don't think so. JC, thanks again, my friend. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that was J.C. Derrick with World Magazine. You can go out and read a lot of J.C.'s stories. You can go out to www.worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. We're going to switch gears when we come back from the break. We want to talk a little bit about the First Do No Harm film that aired last night. It's a short film, 17 minutes long, but there were a number of other pieces. I got some folks here with me in the studio as well. Kelly Lee and Tim Robertson are here with me. We're going to talk with them when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. Love to hear from you as well. If you attended it last night, I want to hear your comments about what you thought of the film.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.